Try not to laugh.
Okay, what am I supposed to talk about?
You just like greetings, guardians. Then just say who we are. This is a bonus episode, and then what we're gonna do, and then I'll take over.
Greetings, guardians. My name is Bife here. Today, Just Some Guardians podcast. We'll be reviewing the Destiny 2 Warmind expansion reveal stream from Twitch.tv. Now, today, we not only have the host of our podcast, Elma Fudd, we've also got the effervescent Russell, and myself, the ever-sensual Nick.
Okay, yeah, that was pretty brilliant.
Yeah, that was solid.
I don't even know who this guy is.
Thanks for playing like along, Bife. That's totally on our show. That's so nice you joined us.
Literally, do it. Just do it. It's someone. No. Greetings, Guardians.
Greetings, Guardians. My name is Bife. I am the first and longest running lorecaster in.
Oddly, more prideful snake.
Oh my god, so good.
Bife, I don't hate you. I just hate
no,
you.
No, we just love your voice.
Thank you.
Oh my god. All right. Ooh. Hey guys.
I don't hate
so
you.
So we're
going to
do a live watch through of the Destiny 2 Warmind reveal trailer because Russell has not seen it. And I just listened to the audio while I was at work. So if you are listening to this, it'll sound weird.
What are you doing
unless
here?
You decide to open it up and press play with us. So do whatever you want. It's fine. This is for us. Bonus episode. All right.
Rear screen, Brett.
For the record. For the record.
Yeah.
What record do you speak of? Where's the record?
Because I fully realize that Bife will probably end up watching this.
Why?
Because someone will tell him. I don't.
Publicity.
I don't hate you. I actually really love... Well, I do hate you, actually. There's a really specific reason. You never finished your goddamn Book of Sorrow video series. You
oh,
sick
that's right.
You cocker Bifrost.
I think my favorite thing he did was that, like, ultimate timeline video. From, like,
the entire story.
Now to now. Like, from modern times to where we are in Destiny.
Dude,
oh
he is my Destiny lore master, and when it came to the follow through with the Books of Sorrow, which I never read the Grimoire cards because I thought his videos were far more interesting than the Grimoire cards, he never finished it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean that's just
his videos are definitely more interesting.
All right, let's do this thing. Our special episode is not about Bife. But it could be.
No, it's not. Greetings, Guardians.
You're so good at that. Oh my god.
Talking about.
Okay, shut up, everybody. Shut up. Shut your whore mouths. We're going to do this. Russell's going to actually watch stuff live. Here we go. All right, everyone's on zero?
Yeah.
All right, live commentary that's totally going to be serious. It'll have to do with the game in 3, 2, 1, play. Rated T.
Music.
What'd you say, Russell?
Like music.
That and their music, yeah.
Nice. Only pain. Look at that.
That is. Because it looks freaking amazing.
Just you wait,
all right,
sir.
That was it. No, I'm just kidding.
Hello and welcome to the reveal stream.
Oh, the trailer we already got.
To Destiny 2.
Hey, Daddy
I'm
Deej.
And I'll be your host. And I will be joined in the hot seats today by many waves of developers to talk about different aspects of
Deej.
These are the stereotypical developers right here.
By going, greetings, good.
My name is Deej.
First, I'd like to introduce you to some of the creative leadership that has driven this project together. We have Evan Nikolic from Bungie.
Hey.
Hey, Evan.
We have Brent Gibson from Vicarious Visions.
Hello.
So this is an interesting.
Wait, this is last name Nikolic?
Talked about our partnership with Vicarious.
No,
what?
Nikolic.
Which might be the most awesome of your team name I've ever heard.
We were bringing the PC build out into the wild for the first time. But this is the first time that we have ever sat in these chairs together as partners to talk about how we can create a new adventure for
Nine?
Scratch.
Or the, no, the, what are those called? The strange coins from the first one? They're on the table?
Yeah.
The way we've been working together. So what would you say?
I want a bungee mug.
So, yeah, I'm the...
I want a strange coin.
On the bungee side for mine, and, you know, I've just
Dude.
Been role primarily as, like, getting...
We should do
to work together
a Secret Santa in July.
And making sure that, you know, we're staying in lockstep with, you know, building. Mm-hmm.
Common creative vision.
Yep.
Two studios. So when you take that common creative vision.
So do you guys know what Vicarious Visions is known for?
Yeah, I'm the creative.
Yeah, the PC release of Destiny 2.
Well, yeah, but they made a bunch of like little shit.
Yeah.
And that they make sense as a complete package.
And didn't they were like a big part of this DLC, if I recall, right?
Yeah, we're always.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Destiny is a game
that
takes a lot of people to make. There's no one thing that we accomplish with any one person. There's a lot of people that worked on this one, and
you're such a kiss ass
because they're excited to see their hard work being
in the best way. You deserve everything under the sun after two tokens and a blue.
Right, that poor guy.
When you're working together, two studios.
Okay, sorry, Russell. I'll be quiet.
Coming up with an idea, like who's
supposed to commentate?
Well, your commentary is much more exciting than theirs is.
Greetings, Guardian.
We talk about this a lot.
My name is Deej.
The thing that I like about our partnership so much is that you really don't know where the ideas begin and end. Like, everybody's been working really hard to make sure that this is, like, a truly collaborative effort, mm-hmm. and that we're all taking the best ideas, regardless of where they come from, to make the best game we can.
This is kind of fun seeing it like in video. I like their.
We just started with a single.
I've always listened to their streams. I've never really been able to watch one. So I've never seen their little studio there. I like that.
They're real people.
What?
And a different way of like.
Damn! This ruins my immersions.
Experiences we're creating for this release.
Yeah,
that's a bad thing. Are these armors in the background? These are armors just from like Destiny 2, the vanilla game, right?
Right. Those are the armor sets that you spawn into the tower when it's being attacked by the Red Legion.
As a brand.
At the very beginning of the game.
Get through Warmind, you're actually
no, that's at the very beginning of the game, right?
So we have the potential to
so
surprise some
are you
players
saying it's at the beginning?
Things, but
that's the goal.
It's still the
yeah,
goal
it's the start.
Oh, okay,
like,
sorry.
You know,
like zero,
opening.
Zero?
To it, but
the beginning.
Oh, okay.
Definitely proud of
Genesis.
What's it been like for you guys to come into this development process and to learn new tools and to, you know, join us
that,
in this crazy chaotic...
You know, the little war mine
I mean,
vault.
First thing is, like, it's been
we don't know.
2 years.
It looks like a square penis.
And
there's
it kind of looks like it's flipping the bird.
Evan is kind of our Sherpa up the mountain. Of
yes, it's a square penis, Russell. Go home.
And we really had to come at it, like, super hungry to learn. And these guys have been amazing.
Go home, Russell. You're drunk.
It's a big, complex game. There's a lot going on.
What is Vicarious Visions known for? We have to find out.
There was a lot of work.
I can't remember. I feel like I knew, but I don't remember.
I know that we've had a lot of people from...
Known for the Lord Vita.
The name.
We've sent people from Bungie to go and, you know, live and work.
I feel like that guy is, like, insanely tall.
Yeah. Our frequent flyer mile pool.
The skinny dude?
Yeah.
At least 7 feet.
Yeah.
He is actually part horseradish.
Oh, wow.
So I want to talk about our goals for this project, and we're going to take a look at some gameplay soon.
Gameplay!
But we want to set your expectations
Good
for
shit.
What we set out to achieve with Warmind.
So apparently.
Set our expectations, Daddy Dag.
A tweet from Paris from Gamertag Radio yesterday.
Whatever your
and,
name is.
There's a lot of people in the Destiny community who are looking...
He,
Vicarious Visions did the Crash Bandicoot reboot. They did a lot of Skylanders stuff.
Oh, really?
Oh, shit.
The
wow. I'm battling.
Revolves around Destiny. We had
that.
A long conversation about these things with members
yeah,
of our community.
I know, I'm making Russell
summit.
Feel like he's adding to the conversation.
Happy with the way that went down, so I'm hoping there will be more of those in the future.
For you. But actually, you know what, Brett? My wife isn't here. Fuck you.
Yeah, now we're talking. Now we're
yeah,
talking.
Wife.
Warmind is
my wife's here. She says, watch your goddamn mouth, you fucking whore.
The way we play Destiny. And Paris from Gamertag Radio said... I think it's safe to say.
I don't have a wife.
We want
you know what? You take your pus-filled cock and shove it in your own mouth.
An earned challenge for those
what?
That enjoy activities in the end game.
That was oddly Russell, specific.
Russell, I feel like you're enjoying being able to coice.
Right?
To do, new ways to play, an injection of new challenges into the end game. You think
I never get to cuss anymore.
Yeah, I definitely think we're hitting
the best part of this bonus episode is that, like, their audio is going to be in our show so that, like, people listening are definitely going to understand that we just were like, whatever, doing the whole thing.
I just want to hear your reactions to the gameplay montage.
Yeah, that's what I'm most excited for. And then for me to physically see it.
This is like,
I watched it live.
Mystery Science Theater 2000?
Legit. Mystery Science Theater is some of the best ways out there to watch bad movies.
Agreed.
It's the best way to watch Ben.
Yes.
Careful challenging our community. Yeah.
I think he just made a back challenge there.
Yeah, I love Deej there. Careful challenging our community. Because they will find everything. So we're going to,
well, not even that, but
the
like,
first day.
Two tokens and a blue. Can't help but remember that.
Takes place in the polar ice cap.
All right, here we go, Russ.
Where we're discovering Rasputin.
So here's the thing.
Yeah, the like Rasputin.
The
just leaping off that Rasputin has woken and set off
the
chain solar system wide. So you're seeing
patrol zone. You can use your Sparrow
from the sky. And specifically,
which means it's bigger than Mars.
People are saying it's about 10% bigger than Titan.
We're going to break live.
Oh, here we go, Russ.
Fire team on the surface of Mars. You may have been to Mars before, but this is an entirely new.
Didn't Rasputin already wake up?
So let's take a look at what we can see here. You said the polar ice caps of Mars are melting.
Wasn't there like a whole DLC revolving around Rasputin that was in
Phobos in the distance?
No. There's a couple things that had to deal with him. Space junk
raining down. I'm interpreting this, and we'll find out, I guess. I'm interpreting this as he is now finally in control of all of his system-wide assets.
Because he's been, like, awake, but he's more been, like, very small functions and only able to, like,
birthplace of all the technology that we know in the Destiny.
Talk
when trying not to draw too much attention, because,
it also happens to be the birthplace,
like,
of Rasputin.
The last thing he wanted is the Hive to come ransack his bunkers. There was the whole Omnigel incident, which probably knocked him back a while.
We didn't have public events and crazy
I like that pyramid-like architecture that's kind of going on. It's a lot different than what we've seen so far, I feel like.
Yeah, the Warmind architecture is very, very, very geometric, and it makes me super freaking happy, because it's not boxy geometric like we're normally used to, where everything's square or
that glitch that just occurred.
Yeah, the good old robe cloak glitch.
For the actual player experience, I'm sure you'll explain to us how Rasputin can
there
be
no
on Mars and in old Russia at the same time.
Yeah,
and we will satisfy all of these.
Don't look now. I didn't say that guy's name. To do that. Going to tell Dad.
I'm assuming it's like Cortana. He's an AI. He can be multiple places.
Having
one
a good
time.
Day. That's
Mars
awesome.
Where you'll be exploring. Where you'll be playing. Yeah. This is where the campaign will take place.
Yeah.
But then even after the campaign is over, you have reasons for us to come back to this place.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we have
if like an Egyptian kind of thing. I'm into that.
Right next to
that.
We just got Egyptian. Rasputin. This was around before Osiris.
So we have a whole new frozen hive that's
some really Egyptian.
Did you hear that?
I mean,
part
like
Russ?
Challenge the players.
A whole new frozen
Nick was
hive.
Talking.
The awakening is like we have the escalation protocol that it's a ritualized public event.
Well, what does that mean? That the hives are going to have a skin that makes them appear to be frozen, or
you'll see. You'll see. I can shed whatever lore light I know, because greetings, guardians. My name is Blythe here. I can share all of. As we get into the
look at the ice there above the cavern
where you have the company, you have the corporation, and you have the evidence of commerce, whether it's Weyland Yutani or whether it's the Tyrell Corporation.
Alien reference.
Clovis Bray is our own storytelling fictional corporation, and we're going to learn a little bit more about Clovis Bray, including some of the people that were involved in the operation of Clovis Bray, is that
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, yes. We're actually introducing Anna Bray.
Anna Bray.
Anna Bray.
Okay.
Anna Bray.
And Anna Bray is a new hero that we will encounter during our adventures. This Anna Bray is.
I wonder if she's like related to the Brays of Clovis Bray.
Yeah, she's
she was Anna Bray before she became a guardian. And was one of the daughters of Mossa Bray.
She's been pretty well known for a while like to said, you know people that actually know stuff.
The big problem with that, something I'm excited to get information on. You're a guardian. Like when you're resurrected, you do not remember your past life.
This would be a wonderful opportunity somehow,
tasty
beverage because we're going to play the prologue.
Oh, here, let's be quiet for the prologue here for us.
I want to thank Evan Nikolic and Brent Gibson for being on stream with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And then dive back into her for
give
sure.
Us new things Giggity. To play and talking to us a little bit about
get out of here.
Warmind comes out.
Bye, Brent. Bye, Evan.
And we hope you'll be right there with us.
Nikolic.
Bump into us in the
great. A great name.
Shoot some person alive in the face as they come out from underneath.
And I only have a nickel.
Ice caps, yeah? Yeah.
Well, it's like Nicholas.
Almost 2 years now.
No, it's really not.
Cool. All right. Well, anything else you want to say to the Guardians who are watching?
Good luck playing.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to hearing the stories you guys come up with.
All right. Well, with that, thank you so much for being on stream. We're going to put our next round of developers in the seats. But for the time being, this is Anna Bray.
Guardians aren't supposed to investigate their past. That's the rule. But I'm not good with rules. Not when there's this much at stake.
Ooh.
The Clovis Bray tech in that building allowed us to colonize the system during the Golden Age. They sought to create peace for all humanity. Which is ironic, because they also built Rasputin. The single most powerful weapon in the solar system. Either way, it's all been entombed on Mars since the collapse. Along with something far more terrifying.
I do like how they're introducing these new heroes or heroes that we've heard about but haven't seen. Cinematic edge to the experience that I enjoy. Deepens the lore. Weapon she has on her back, but it's super sexy.
Did you see how she put the knife back in her boot there?
When we're through watching the cheeseburgers, I can elaborate on what we're seeing. Because greetings, Guardians.
So that was Anna Bray.
Who are these guys?
Sorry, Brian.
The next two developers, the next wave of creators.
The next two developers.
Things that you made.
Hello, Ben. Hello, Jacob.
Benton.
How's it going, Deej?
It's good. Good to be have you here. And we have Ben Walmack.
Good morning, dude.
Jacob
morning,
looks comfy.
Gentlemen, we're going to take a look at Escalation Protocol, which is
described
as a cyclical, ritualized endgame activity.
Really shit my pants.
Enjoy this, Russ.
Yep.
Before we jump into that,
yeah, I'm excited about this. This will be awesome. Yeah,
this is going to become like when I want to play Destiny. This is going to be what I want to do.
Archon's Forge, all over again.
Archon's Forge, Court of Orcs, and Horde mode.
So I was there to team succeed and get all their talents up for
things that I used to do was sit down and play Black Ops and play zombies or the survival.
Oh,
like the idea
of that graviton.
The thing. You played COD Blops?
So the number one goal was trying to make a challenging endgame experience that people really wanted to come back to and aspire to finish. Mm-hmm. We know that the community and a lot of friends and internally we've been wanting bigger challenges in the game.
Yeah, like something we can go home and play at night and like really feel challenged by.
Yeah, you've heard the community feedback that maybe Destiny 2 isn't hard enough.
Yes, we've heard that.
We heard
this
it.
Is your answer to that feedback.
Yep.
Yeah, this is one of our answers.
Okay, one of our answers to the feedback that Destiny could be a little bit more challenging.
Mm-hmm.
All right, anything else that you want to say about it before we take a look at it in action?
Yeah, there's a couple cool features about it. It's has a lot of the characteristics of public events that you already see in public zones in Destiny, and that if it's running, anyone else can run up to it and engage with it and play. Like, we're really trying to get people to, you know, join up even if they're not on the same fire team to overcome the same challenges.
One big difference, though, is you can start it at any time as a player. Like, you can walk up and start it. It's not like regular public events where they're on a schedule. Like, you could be running this pretty much 24/7 if you wanted to.
I really like that.
I really like that.
Mm-hmm. Good.
You don't need a key.
You can just walk up and start.
Exactly how a player would activate.
Or help whoever's starting. Yeah.
All right, so we have a bunch of people assembled in this public space, which means that they can play together, but other people can come up and play with them. And
what's the size limit on how many?
See rising up out of
as many people are in the area.
The technology that Rasputin has embedded in Mars.
Other than your own fire team, you can have zones. And whenever it activates, what is the cap? 24 people in public space.
Yeah.
And Rasputin's doing this because he wants you to take all of them out before the device deactivates and the hive manage to escape. So he's trying to corral them in for you. And every single time one of those rises up, as you play the event more and more, it'll bring a stronger wave of hive with a stronger boss you have to fight.
Yeah, like
wait, how come it's not shooting?
Ramps up.
Because that's with the change.
Change.
It's pretty difficult by the end of it.
Yeah. So let's talk about the structure of the event. Yeah, they just activated the event, and it plays out in waves.
That's right.
Yep. Since how many waves? The change.
So there's seven total waves.
This is the version of the gun we're going to have when the Warmind launches.
Mm-hmm. And the seventh one, it's no longer the this crashing like horde of hive. It is actually a unique boss fight that has a unique mechanic. Mm-hmm. And we're actually even one-upping that one more level because we have five unique bosses that are going to rotate every week.
Okay.
Wow.
So each wave has its own boss.
Right.
And then the final wave has a final boss, mm-hmm. and week over week, you have five of them, and we will face a different final boss week over week.
Correct.
And then once you've played for 5 weeks, you will have encountered all of them, and then
it'll restart at the first
You can face them again.
And okay. Some of the bosses drop things.
I like that it goes on a pattern like that.
Unique rewards to specific bosses.
My favorite thing here, what they just said, is that every boss has its own
unique rewards. Yeah, there are things
that drop in
this activity that you can't get anywhere
else. So
that's why I like that it goes on a pattern instead of being random, because otherwise, like, you can plan out and you can be like, oh, it's the boss that we haven't been able to do whatever on.
Are using weapons that are specific to this.
Right.
There's a good reason to grind it a lot in 1 week.
Well, and
what you're going for.
The boss only spawns at the end of wave 7.
Look at that. What is that, a shotgun?
Mm-hmm. Right now, it's one of the Warmind shotguns.
They have unique perks on them. So when he takes a melee...
Literally, I'm going to die when this comes out.
...on his shotgun for a few seconds.
It feels a lot to me like Fourth Horseman in some ways, which was one of my favorite weapons from D1.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of cooler because you melee to trigger it and then just unload on the guy.
Yeah, and so that's only the first weapon. We actually have two other legendary weapons that are unique. We have a sniper rifle, which has a perk called box breathing, where if you aim down sights long enough before firing a shot, it'll then get a big damage boost to your critical hits.
Okay.
It's such a big damage boost, you're like, whoa, like, I can't believe I did that much damage with one bullet. And then it has triple tap on the gun besides that, so you can get some really good, like, high damage moments if you can make all those shots.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that we
It's triple tap. Triple tap. Triple tap is where if you land precision hits three in a row, it returns around to the magazine.
Yeah, that's another part of community feedback.
It is
I thought it allowed you to fire three shots in rapid succession.
That'd be
just for sustained fire and things like boss.
That's a gun I want now. It just looks pretty rad. I want Russ to be in charge of designing new guns.
Correct. That's right.
So,
could you imagine a sniper rifle that, like, fired kind of like a pulse rifle burst?
What can I expect to earn week over week? What can I expect to earn every single time?
And then they're like instant, which I guess you kind of already are anyway. Sniper rifle, but
working at the same time.
I feel like that would mean you wouldn't even have to be super accurate.
I think the most desirable one.
Don't wave at the boss.
That's a high value target that's messing with everything else. Okay. The public space, like, stuff collides like a really, really fun ways. But so we have several different systems. When you finish the wave 3 and 5, a chest will spawn that has more kind of normal public event type rewards in it, as well as chances of vanity items that you only get from this from Escalation Protocol.
Yeah.
The most desirable stuff comes from beating that boss.
Exactly, your vanity items.
We have two different systems. We have those guns
I'm
mentioned.
I'm going to interrupt you. What do we got here?
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, this is the Hive Sword.
The sword.
So, remember it.
Yeah.
Destiny. Go get another one. Go get another one.
Yeah, someone else can grab one too. Yeah.
One of the people playing during the stream that we watch was Christopher Barrett.
Oh, was it?
He said the most stressful moment in his professional career was when he was demoing one of the weapons in the Crucible Raider.
Oh, was he the one in charge of getting the two tap?
And this is exactly the same story
with Sturm and Drang.
You can use a super and use a smash, and you don't want to do it on exploding thrall, probably. But you can sword glide with the melee.
Let's be real; it's something we've all done.
Oh, a million times.
Melee button with an exploding thrall in your face.
There's something there, and punch it.
Waves are going to just take a massive majors or other like high difficulty targets, and they're going to just throw them at you all at once. So instead of maybe using your super or some heavy ammo, you can grab a sword and, you know, delicately try to carve your
way. I like how there's some, like, this isn't that, just the, about that big puddle there.
Shooting Hive and shooting wave after wave after wave of Hive. You're seeing some interesting mechanics here. You're seeing some
environment looks really interesting.
To work together to accomplish.
Yeah, I am excited about
what's that nice mix of the ice and snow and sands of Mars.
That are suspended up in the air.
The cool thing. This area that they showed us is just where you land. They didn't leave the area where you land.
That's awesome.
I think, and I was actually thinking about that because, you know, you were talking about how this is much bigger than Mercury, but Mercury wasn't the only thing that we got because we also got the,
Infinite Forest.
Oh, gosh, I forgot what it's called. Thank you.
Yeah, well, that's not part of the patrol zone. And they're talking like the full patrol zone is bigger than Titan.
And that stuff that
Titan patrol zone is smaller than Mars patrol zone.
When you aren't running someone with only point.
And if you think about if you include the Endless Forest in with Mercury and the other places that you go inside the Endless Forest, it actually is a really, really large area that they gave us.
Right.
But it's not one that we can go to and explore.
It's not the actual patrol zone.
One of the items, he may have just gotten one of the armory codes. So you can get armory codes during the event and for doing other things on Mars and around the game, and you can spend those armory tokens to get a special weapon
that Graviton lands
during the event that you're probably going to need.
I didn't catch this.
I'm really excited for this part.
And it's basically
so
like
in the event and other things you can do in the game, you can earn
like a magical
currency to spend during this event to give yourself special weapons and stuff.
And those armory codes are going to be really important for when you're on the crux moment or time's kind of running out and you need to get that extra moment to get
kind of like going back to like
wave.
You know,
and you're going
to
want
to
use
zombies and Call of Duty or something where you spend money to build this or buy new guns and stuff to throw
on stream, or should we save it for the players when they play for themselves?
Well,
grab it.
It's almost too good not to use.
We go. And we're up.
Ooh.
This is the Valkyrie.
Oh, sexiness.
You see the Rasputin style tech on board.
Oh
yes.
It's a melee weapon.
I think I just came a little in my pants.
It only lasts a short amount of time.
Use it wisely.
Yeah, use it wisely.
It's so sexy.
When the boss for the wave comes out or when a huge amount of ogres spawn, for example.
That was a good moment.
Man, that is...
For demonstration purposes, maybe not the best tactical moment.
I'm not going to criticize the person playing.
We're showing it.
You've been criticizing the person playing the entire time.
And I'm seeing...
Well, even the boss?
There was a Rasputin box underneath the bridge, though.
I saw that.
Keep that promise and leave.
Oh, there's your sword.
There you go. Have your sword. So which wave are they fighting now?
So they're in the third one right now.
Okay.
And there's seven total.
Seven total. And they've been getting through these pretty readily. Keep in mind that we're using high-level characters right now.
We have had streams before where we wanted to prove the activity was and what happened was our audience...
These characters, I want to say, I can't remember what their power level is, but the people who played this at the summit had a difficult time getting into Wave 4. None of them beat Wave 4, and Bungie is making it harder because the feedback was it was still too easy.
This is
going to be difficult.
Even at power cap, I think it'll still be. I mean, not. It's not going to be like hard, but it's not going to be like a walk in the park. You're not going to be, working it the whole time.
Right. Well, I don't think it's ever going to be like super easy.
I mean, it's supposed to be in-game content, so it should be hard, even Even that level cap.
Oh, 383. Activity, there you go. Maybe,
oh my God, yeah, they're right under the hard cap.
They're right over, so the hard cap's 380.
Oh, you're right.
So
you're right.
They have a couple like mods and stuff in the guns that put them up a little bit.
Here we have,
385 is the, no, 385 is the hard cap. The 380 is the soft cap.
No,
340
is the soft cap. 380 is the hard cap, and then with mods and stuff, gets you to 380.
They say hard cap because it requires that you do the raid and the trials of the nine and the raid to get up there.
Oh, what'd you ask there, Russ?
Only from Escalation Protocol.
Yeah.
Well, since you can't go above 385, wouldn't that be the hard cap?
We've got the new emote wheel that goes in for every.
Well, no, because the hard cap's always been the highest you can get without adding the plus five mods.
Escalation Protocol.
So technically yes, but
that's right, correct.
Mechanically no.
Just to recap,
auto rifle. Was that what that was? No, as an SMG. Still pretty cool.
In fact, what was the feedback that you thing got looks the awesome.
Yeah, so
the Warmind SMG was pretty sweet.
They were finding it difficult, but the feedback we got was that they would prefer if it was even more difficult. And we were really close to being locked down, but we managed to squeeze in one final change specifically based on the community feedback from the summit to make it even harder.
Yeah, okay. the day of the summit, that right after it's
I like pretty much everything we're seeing.
And all these guns look awesome. That SMG is freaking
now
badass.
Now it's even harder. It's what people ask for. Yeah. So.
Yep. Well, we're about to find out. We're about to find out if people should have been more careful about what they wish for. So this begins on May 8th, along with Warmind. It must be said that you need to finish the Warmind campaign before this is even available to you.
Right,
correct. Though, if someone else has actually started it, you can engage and follow along, even if you haven't finished the campaign, which, you know, you're probably going to help make a difference by being there. Mm-hmm. You're also going to be probably kind of wrecked. It will be lower level.
Probably get some good experience from it, though.
People can resi-
probably a good way to power level alts.
So by all means.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
what's an alt?
This is all waiting out there in the wild, and people can dive in
things
after
other people
finish
do.
The campaign or during in progress if they want to get punished. We call it Escalation Protocol. We will actually
I like the lore behind
this activity
it.
Now mm-hmm. and leave the rest for
did you hear that part,
by
Russ?
Our players. So this fire team can
the
go
lore
back
behind
orbit,
why we do that
for the next act of our
protocol?
Reveal.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for the hard work that
yeah, Rasputin is trying to eliminate all the hive, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he, out, like, he draws them in collaborating with some people in and you get to
make sure that you dial it up to 11 at their request.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We did it. It's fun for us too.
awesome.
And we all enjoy shooting
anything
hive.
Else you'd like to say to the guardians in our audience before we move along to take a look
I've my favorite enemy, so I'm super excited about this.
Hive and taken, man. Hive and taken. I'm so excited.
Thank you so much for being on stream today, and we will
talk
to you again about this once we get some player stories.
I just want to hold him and tell him it's okay.
It'll show
up. That are about to hit Destiny. And to accomplish this, let's introduce you to two combatants in our fire team that will be sparring in this live fire exercise.
Hey guys.
You should know Cosmo by now, your friendly community manager.
Hi, Cosmo.
As well as Kevin Yannis.
Hey,
who
Kevin.
Is a designer on the Crucible team, who you may remember from our most recent Bungie bounty. Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. You have the comm. Tell us about what you'd like to reveal today, and then we'll get to playing some games.
So today, the Crucible team is going to talk to you about two important features coming in Season
Ooh.
3. Both of these are
look at these ships.
Name, regardless of Warmind ownership. And those are Crucible ranks and
when I saw those, I was like, bro, it's good.
Reminds me of Star Fox.
So starting in Season 3, all
Person players fired?
Are invited to the world of Crucible ranks, and you're going to have a choice of three ranks, which really dictates how you're going to play and how what type of investment you're going to make into the game. So
you're a there is fire team.
The Valor rank, which is the rank that goes up when you win.
There's seven.
I think there's eight.
And winning
yeah, there's eight of them.
Faster, but there are absolutely no loss penalties. This is more reflection.
Custom games.
Time commitment.
Yep.
This is something you can go in, kick back, relax, and make progress towards something.
So everybody can.
You know what, Bungo? You gotta pick a number.
Absolutely. And you're gonna find this.
3, 4, 6, 8. We appreciate.
All of our rotating playlists.
Not.
You know what I like about having the escalation protocol too.
Which is the
is the fact that now we have a thing that we can go and do besides the raid if we have more than three people.
Regrettably, not the case. Because you can only go into patrol with three people.
We're going to reward you for it.
What do we stand to gain?
What if you lose?
Still go into the escalation protocol with them, right?
No, because really that's on the planet. Well. You can only land on the planet and end up in fire team 3.
And you're very, very unlikely to end up in the same as you can win instance.
You earn more points up to a cap.
So that's still a problem.
Streak bonus.
Correct. There's streak bonuses. Glory features the same type of streak bonus.
But yeah, otherwise, you're dead on.
Right. Losing a lot, it's going to hurt them. I'm excited for this system well. Here. I'm going to dive into it a lot.
And that's there, you know, to add a little bit more of the risk.
Especially since it's not just... At first, I was worried that it was just going to be, like, a number next to your name, and then finding out that there's, like, different weapons and stuff attached to different tiers is something to go for sure.
So starting in Season 3, we're actually changing up the way Crucible rewards work entirely. When you go to Shax, as you will be required to when you first... log in on Season 3, you'll be presented not only with a welcome
like
package
that
contains two amazing emblems,
there is a new exotic for Warlocks. That...
Exactly. Oh, is that the arms that look like the feathers? Or...
No, it's the Sanguine Alchemist.
Oh, yeah.
Sanguine
yeah.
Alchemy or something. Like, and it's Sanguine Blood. So I'm really excited at what it's if like. Were to max I imagine it's going to, like, you sacrifice health to do shit.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Which means the Devour Warlock build just became better.
Yeah.
So the thing I'm really excited with this is that there's a different. There's, you know, there's the ranking with quick play and then the ranking with competitive. And so if you just want to, you know, the quick play one just goes up as you play. So the more you play, just the higher it goes. Then the competitive one is actually, you know, if you do better, it goes up. And then if you lose, it goes down a little bit. So you're constantly fighting for it.
Yes, yes, yes. I'll get to that in a second. Okay.
Overwatch does with their competitive season.
Actually tracks your rank points.
Yeah, they're actually admittedly using exactly Overwatch as a template for inspiration.
Which is smart. Which is super smart. But yeah, I'm pumped for this. I'm going to be diving into this like crazy.
Already a series of
I think that gun he's holding there is one of the rewards, right?
You're going to be able to earn from
yeah, we'll talk about it shortly.
But cool. Specifically, one gun.
It's a weapon. That we're going to deliver. Here we go.
That's going to be the chase. For Season 3, that's Redrix's Claymore.
High impact.
And this gun is unlike many guns because it features a new perk called Desperado. So as you see here, it has barrel traits. It has Outlaw, fan favorite, which is actually getting buffed in the 1.2.0 patch so that it refreshes every headshot kill. No cooldown. And Desperado, well, that's synergistic with it. So reloading while Outlaw is active is going to increase your rate of fire.
Oh, that's badass.
Unlike other rate of fire perks we've made in the past, this one does not lower your impact, which means you're still getting the crispy 3 burst. You're just getting it faster.
So, wow.
Okay. Yeah. I love how proud he looks. That makes
It feels
wow. Like, he goes,
part of me feels like a lot of the developers, they feel like they've been untethered. Like, oh, I don't have to like water shit down anymore.
Yeah. I feel like it finally came back, and certain people up the chain were like, all right, we're going to back off a little bit. And they're like, yay, we can make the game we want to play too.
It's everything you have known and
well, it's probably a lot of it has to do with probably time constraints. They're not chasing down bugs, they're not doing other things. It's okay, here, go and make this. Yeah, fitting,
well, that and I feel like Activision finally was forced to back off.
And stuff like that. It was basically like, all right, you guys fix your stuff. Do what you need to do to get it done. We've already sold a million copies, so Activision's happy.
One of those maps is Meltdown. We won't be playing that today, but we will be looking
at Solitude. So, Bungie, you go ahead and have fun.
Solitude is a brand new map that does...
They're adding the ability to create private matches, right? So you get to choose the map that you're playing on?
Yeah.
You choose the map and modifiers.
You can play with just your friends. So this is one you could do, like, if you have your raid team,
And that is actually
or plus a couple more, and just go in there, and starting when the expansion drops.
And we're going to play a little bit accelerated.
Or if they're gearing up to maybe move into the
playlist version, we split it up a little bit.
you know, like Overwatch.
Snappy, but today we're going to be playing six. So we're going to play Solitude Survival. And
there's private matches, competitive play. I wonder if they're testing the waters to see if they might be able to build a competitive base.
They've had private matches before. We just didn't have it with the launch of D2.
Crucible rankings to every player of Destiny 2.
One of the big issues.
The Crucible maps that we're releasing with Warmind. You'll be able to enjoy those in matchmaking. If you want to use them in private matches, you do need to own the expansion. So as they depart toward this new match, I'd like to introduce you to the final wave of developers that are in the hot seats.
We final have boss.
Our final bosses for the day are John
Josh Hamrick. Look at those guns. What a stud.
And Josh Hamrick.
Hello.
You probably have seen these two.
You saw all the memes,
about
right?
Their work on many occasions past, whether it's a bounty or a video.
So when he did that the Go Fast update, like, you know, trailer video? He had a shirt that was like way high up, and so everyone made pictures of like his arms being huge. I don't know if it's still there, but the Destiny subreddit, the title page on it was like all flowery hibiscus behind him, and then him standing there with these giant huge arms for like, I don't know if it's still there, but
some of the most coveted weapons.
It was pretty funny.
The big goals we were trying to hit with the exotic weapon pass that is going to be going live in May is that we wanted to increase the feeling of
exoticness, like,
or power or a specific gameplay experience that was happening with each exotic weapon. Basically, with the focus of just making everything stronger, faster, better, just pushing everything a little bit harder.
Okay, Daft Punk.
And we wanted to do that in a way that was leaning into the exotic fantasy of the game.
The Daft Punk update.
We'd already established with the weapons on release. Okay. So we weren't trying to make any like drastic changes to how these things
play. Look at this map. This looks so good. I didn't get to see this. I'm excited.
That, like, you feel like it could be
better. Oh, I like that. Oh, this is cool.
That gameplay is still going to be pretty familiar to you.
There's a lot of really brightly colored maps. I like this.
In every activity that you like playing.
Okay. Well,
my fighting lion that you see here is now a beast. John can tell you everything it does, but it is my...
Oh yeah, they go over a couple of exotics.
Yeah, the thing we did for Fighting Lion to make it a little bit better is we gave it more ammo, and we basically did a small adjustment to how damage works on it. So, we added more damage to the detonation and took a little bit off the impact.
Ooh, here.
So it places a little less pressure on trying to get the grenade to hit. And makes the detonation a little bit more friendly.
Masterwork for Vigilance Wing.
Yeah.
Makes it fully automatic.
It's a little bit more reliable.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
Oh my god, it's fun.
Punch him. There you go.
I still don't have my fucking badge, Juju.
Some hot potato action for me this time.
It'll probably be here. We both know it's going to come eventually.
All of the exotic weapons.
There's no way it's not.
Very specific targets that you
that's such a good one.
Butter.
Almost all of it. There's only a handful that didn't get touched.
Oh my god, I love this map.
Already playing pretty well, or already getting relatively positive feedback from the community. And because we did have a limited amount of time, we wanted to make sure we were hitting all the stuff that really needed a good pass.
Yeah. So if Fighting Lion is one that you're really enjoying, Josh, John, what are you looking forward to getting your hands on when the 1.2.0 update kicks off Season 3?
I'm really excited about the Graviton Lance. I know we talked about it a whole bunch, but I think that one just came together really nicely. I think it's going to be a really good weapon for all activities. Yeah, it's going to be great. I think it'll
the changes that they're making to it.
It'll definitely give Vigilance Wing a run for its money, for sure.
Say what?
We are in the PvP world right now, so maybe we can see a little bit of Graviton Lance.
But what are the changes that they're making to the Graviton Lance?
Two pulse burst for two round burst. And if you kill something,
it guarantees a
special
ammo.
Never mind. An energy ammo. I thought he was explaining it. The second round has no damage, and if you kill something with it, these like. Homing.
Do we have any good snipers?
Void explosions. Come popping out.
You're welcome to go take a seat, Captain.
All right, fine. Oh, well, that wasn't it.
So basically, basically what they're doing is when you read what it's supposed to do, they're actually making it do that now.
They're making it do it in a noticeable way.
Yeah, a very flashy way.
Resistant to arc damage, and it activates the
And the big thing is, because you know how Vigilance Wing is like wrecking in the Crucible right now?
Just like blast everything with electrical energy.
The big thing they said is it's really going to put in the Crucible, yeah. They said it's really going to give the Vigilance Wing a run for its money in the Crucible.
We enabled that.
Which makes me happy because I've already been using that gun in Crucible for a while.
The Vigilance Wing?
No, the Graviton Lance.
It will turn on. Oh, the Vigilance Wing.
But the Vigilance Wing is
way more lethal.
Oh, the Vigilance Wing.
And then another thing we did is that we allowed...
All right, so now they're going to pull out Skyburner's Oath Rust, which they also changed.
When you have it stowed. So you don't have to have it out.
Mm-hmm. Brett's random ass murder gun in the Crucible.
Right? That no one expects.
Okay, it's party time.
And now it's going to be even better.
Important distinction for the PvP players is that you only get the damage resistance when the weapon is in your hand.
Okay.
So the perk can activate when you take damage, but you have to pull it out to be able to get the damage resistance.
Second match is coming up. We're going to play some Clash.
Clash?
Some Clash.
Map settings.
Daddy Deej.
Being tweaked.
Mm-hmm. Denim
that,
Daddy Deej.
Skyburner's Oath had been equipped.
Yeah.
Skyburner's Oath is...
Every time I see these ships, I just want to go, do a barrel roll.
In Crucible, which is rare for me to use. All right,
Fox.
Crucible.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they look like.
Done to my baby.
This got the most, probably one of the biggest changes.
Yeah.
Dual parallelogram.
It took a long time to like really dial in how the projectile was going to work.
Baby.
Basically, we talked about this in the TWAB a little bit ago, but Skyburner's Oath had,
I'm just kidding. It's an inside joke.
Skyburner's Oath had, it had a relative.
I'd have laughed if he said like thwab. That'd have been hilarious.
Power is a pretty strong weapon. It just didn't have any spectacle. When you used it, it just sort of felt like one of the other legendary guns. Even though it was pretty strong, it's pretty effective for most activities.
Yeah.
And so we just kind of wanted to give it some sparkle, some pizzazz.
And
so what we did is we sort of like looked at the
Chris
the
is staring into
the
my
weapon
shirt,
where
in my
fires
soul.
Fast from hip and it fires slow from ADS. And we just sort of like, okay, let's make a more distinctive separation here between hip fire and aiming down sights. So now aiming down sights is going to behave like it did, fire slow, high impact, precision damage. We put explosive rounds on the weapon, so anytime you hit with any play style, it's going to explode and do some damage. But then for the hip fire, what we did is we slowed down the projectiles, so we sort of like put a little bit of gravity on them, so you're kind of lobbing these like, it almost feels like a rapid fire grenade launcher.
Okay.
And then we put some.
You're a rapid fire grenade launcher.
Was like,
Bob.
Okay, this is fun. Like, I can see the sort of the feeling of how this is going to work, but it's pretty hard to actually like hit targets with a slower projectile. So we're like, screw it, man. We're trying to make exotics strong and awesome. Let's put some tracking on this thing, so you kind of don't have to aim all that much.
Target-seeking rounds.
Yep, oh, jeez.
The first version of that was strong.
What does it say?
Show me look at that, look at that, look at that.
That's nasty.
Gosh.
Track you down.
Yeah. Oh, look at that, look at that. That is awesome.
Exotic.
That is
exotic.
Definitely great to
have
Kevin's using it here.
And that's just when
really
you hip fire it.
To use as a warlock is sort of your like strafing through the air and just sort of raining fire. Almost like you're some kind of sky burner.
Oh, I see what he did there.
Sky burner has been called.
What was that?
That was hard light.
Hey, what have you done to hard
that
light?
That gun?
Hard light?
Oh, listen to this, ready?
We basically gave the same functionality that Borealis has now, where you can hold down.
I never fired it from the hip because it was useless firing it from the hip. And it makes me want to switch from the Devourer to the.
So one of the things that.
The flaming sword, of course, as you can see there, is
my favorite thing to do with the Skyburner's Oath. So when you
the utility of that
when you hip fire it right now and it just goes full auto. You know that sound it makes, that deep, like, go, 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 go. If you just walk down a hallway doing that, like, everyone runs away. And that's what makes it so fun right now. Because everyone goes, oh, dear God, what is this thing?
Every time a bullet ricochets, it gets double damage.
But did you hear what they're doing to,
stuff around the corner, you're going to be doing twice as much damage.
Oh, God. Nick, help me.
A little bit harder to hit.
Hard light. Did you hear what they're doing to hard light?
And I am really
They're making it to where the ricochet has more damage than the actual straight fire.
And also, if you hold down the reload button, it'll switch the
the
archetype of it,
the
element.
Oh.
So you can switch from solar to void and arc and stuff on the fly.
I wonder if we can get a graviton lance equipped on that character.
On the bloody fly.
This is going to be disgusting.
Okay. Kevin's going to destroy these guys. Why will this be disgusting?
Here you go, Russ. Graviton Lance.
This is good. Like, we use the power of math to make sure the time to kill on Graviton is pretty competitive.
Power of math.
So, yeah.
Time to kill has been a frequent topic of conversation in the community. How does Graviton Lance specifically answer that question? You said the power of math. You're just making this weapon more lethal, more powerful. Well, look at that.
So basically, so one of the things we did to Graviton is we made it a two-round burst instead of a three-round burst. So the first bullet's a little bit
weaker. The reload is a little bit faster, too.
Much stronger with a little bit harder kick. Mm-hmm. But that's one bullet less that you have to fire, so it's already got a competitive advantage against other pulse rifles. Mm-hmm. And as we were making these changes for May, changes were also happening in tandem for the Go Fast update, mm-hmm. which we released a little bit ago.
Yeah.
And as most people know, Pulse Rifles got a significant buff. And when those changes sort of like rolled our way
together
and we play tested, we were like, holy crap, this thing's amazing. And then it was sort of one of those moments where like, do we change it? Do we keep it? What do we do? We're like, screw it. Plays great. People love it. We're just going to keep it. Yeah, Pulse Rifle buff made this thing
that answer.
Pretty awesome.
Right.
Plays great. People love it. Screw it.
Keep it in.
Let's keep it in there.
The first 3 years of Destiny, we presided over a lot of conversations about certain weapons being OP.
Look at this thing. Oh, man, I'm so excited.
Throughout the course of different sandbox updates. With Destiny 2, a lot of the feedback has been nothing's OP.
Yeah.
And they wanted some of those rough edges to come back.
Yep.
Looks like you're doing that.
Yep, absolutely.
Speaking of rate of fire changes and things like that, Crimson?
Crimson, yeah.
Crimson's you'll be happy better. With this, Russ.
Crimson is not necessarily going to have a flashy update like Skyburner. Mm-hmm. If you know how to use Crimson, it's going to be... It's going to play the same. It's going to be very consistent.
Oh, no.
What we did to make Crimson a more competitive option for PvP... Oh, and just for the whole game, the first thing we did...
was,
one of the biggest pieces of feedback about Crimson is that I run out of ammo too fast. So we addressed that. We gave it a whole bunch more ammo.
I agree with that.
There it is now.
For the competitive world, we basically looked at Crimson as...
Watch
we want to try and match the time to kill.
I love that he said that.
Aggressive family hand cannon, which is three shots at the head.
What did he say?
It was interesting trying to solve that because
when he did the field goal after he killed the guy a while back, he said, "Watch the taunts."
We wanted to make it still feel like a hand cannon. We actually tried it early on in Curse of Osiris. We tried firing Crimson as a three-round burst, like the sidearm, and it just made it feel really light, sort of like. It felt like you were using a sidearm with funny art.
Yeah, it did not feel like a hand.
Yeah. So we actually we increased the damage on the
burst. I might even start using Crimson more.
The burst, so it really felt a little bit chunky. But anyways, trying to match the exact time to kill to an aggressive hand cannon.
Kidding.
Meant doing some specific tuning to precision damage and basically the rate of fire. So we sped up the
everyone saw that coming.
We sped up the time between bursts to be able to match the cadence of an aggressive hand cannon, and then to be able to match the exact time in shots to kill, we had to make it so that the first bullet of the final burst is the killing blow of Crimson. So, because it fires
three
rounds per burst, you actually have a lot of room for error there, so you can afford to get in some body shots or miss a couple rounds, and you'll still be competitive with aggressive hand cannons.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that makes sense because it's the precision kill that gives you a couple,
couple
of the extra perks.
What gun do you think is going to be a standout? Uh-oh, here it comes.
Yeah.
Are you going to go to Sturm? You're not going to go Rat King? All right, your choice. We're talking about hand cannons.
Let's see if you can get some of those crispy two taps.
Give me some crispy two taps.
Some crispy two taps. I sell propane and propane accessories.
He's got it primed.
Ooh, did they increase Dermon's strength?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Which means he can get a two-shot kill if he doesn't miss. So how this one is going to work is Sturm and Drang are paired weapons.
Mm-hmm.
There it is.
Boom.
So.
Do you hear the guys on the background?
There it is!
Oh, you're just so bored with yourself.
This was so awesome. Christopher
you're
Barron.
So bored with yourself.
Getting a kill with Drang automatically reloads Sturm, and it adds one bonus round to the magazine. a new functionality with Sturm is that any overloaded round, so Sturm has a default magazine of 12, it goes up to 20. Mm-hmm. So rounds from 12 to 20 are going to have a significant amount of bonus damage.
But you only need one.
But you only need one overcharge round plus one normal round shots to the head to get a kill in Crucible.
Racking.
And then in the PvE world,
switch to racking.
I think he just dropped his controller.
Overload Sturm up to 20 rounds.
I think I heard him drop it. Okay, the game ended. I was like, that'd be hilarious.
Racking.
Those are
sick.
The two Crucible matches that we were going to play today. Some good pearls there about the exotic weapon tuning.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to reveal every single detail on stream.
No.
Might as well, we do love watching our exotic weapon reviews from our community, and that will be a good opportunity for us to understand if we've gotten closer to the sweet spot. We'd love to hear your opinions about these exotic weapons. You'll have an opportunity to get your hands on them on May 8th.
I think they're getting a lot better. I like that they're no longer
with the launch of
making weapons less viable because other weapons are crappy.
They're bringing everything up.
This is super awesome. Let's throw it out there, see how the community likes it, and then we'll continue to tweak the other.
Just making everything a little bit cooler and a little bit better.
Oh yeah,
tweak other weapons to make them better instead of crappier.
Yeah. Well, kind of like that week when Prometheus lens launched and they just gave it to everybody with Xur, and they're like, have a week of really fun laser tag. We'll fix it. Just go have fun.
Has arrived. Super excited about
that. Pretty much. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and all this. So, yeah.
Right. Well, this begins a larger conversation about Warmind and Season 3. That conversation will continue. We'll continue to give you a glimpse at how some of the different exotic weapons are changing. We'll give some different developer insights for some of the activities that we revealed today. And we've still got a couple of weeks to set expectations about all of this. So we thank you for tuning in. We thank you for watching.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome for tuning in.
We're looking forward to seeing you play Warmind. We're looking forward to bumping into you out in the wild as we play some Escalation Protocol. And of course, there's an entire new campaign, an entire new story to tell, and I hope we haven't spoiled too much of that for you. I'm Deej from Bungie. It's been my pleasure to host today, and we'll begin this conversation again soon.
I'm excited. I think this will be a good expansion.
Yeah, I...
Guardians aren't supposed to investigate.
I'm doing it happy.
Me too.
That's the rule. But I'm not good with
the biggest things.
Not when there's this much.
One of the biggest things that, like,
the Clovis Bray tech in that building allowed us.
Patrol zone's huge. The guns are getting updated. There's what, 12 new exotics. I can't remember.
I haven't looked at all of it either.
There's like three per class coming out. And then the patrol zone, there's three new strikes for PlayStation players. There's the raid lair, there's the new PvP modes, and there's
PvP maps. Escalation Protocol. An Escalation Protocol, yeah.
And it's like, well, we know right out of the gate, Escalation Protocol gives you 5 weeks of content to play.
Oh yeah, and that's if you're able to get everything
the first week.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And if not, then you're automatically a week behind. So, you know, just saying.
Well, then we already have, you know, the Nightfall loot that not everyone's gotten, so you still have that to go for if you haven't gotten stuff. And I'm sure they're going to at some point add to that loot pool, which leaves that even still something to go for.
They're going to have to add to it because we're getting three new strikes. So
mm-hmm.
It's three new Nightfall rewards.
Yep.
So, and then there's Spire Stars. So anyway, hey, quick.
Greetings, Guardians. My name is Blythe here.
The lore explanation for you, Russ.
Uh-huh.
So, the Hive on Mars are the Grasp of Nokris. Nokris is the brother of Crota, also the son of Oryx.
And he's that guy I sent you all those pictures of the other day.
Yes, hey. The crazy-looking Hive dude in the robe.
Right, he looks like a wizard instead of a
knight.
Mm-hmm.
A knight. He worships the worm god Zol, X-O-L. The worm god Zol
looks to be frozen under the Helles Basin.
Ooh. And then there's that giant thing coming out of the ground there in the trailer there.
The strike that you fight Nokris in, the lore there is that he is gathering energy from his brood, because that's how the Hive do it. They all the energy gets fed up the chain. He is feeding that energy to Zol to try to wake him up.
Interesting.
Yes.
And also, real quick with that, so I had a friend on Twitter, actually, she posted a picture, a screenshot from the trailer. Not the one with Anna Bray in it just now, the one that, you know, the reveal, the trailer for this reveal stream. Mm-hmm. And posted a screenshot and was like, this doesn't look like a ship coming out of the ground. This looks like some sort of like giant beast of some sort. And one of the developers just commented, good catch. And that's it. So like there's something. And then at the end there, something came out of the ground and you see this nasty shadow. So
it's totally Zol.
Something's nasty is happening.
Totally Zol.
Isn't Zol who Oryx originally went to when female?
I don't remember if Zol was one of the worm gods that was named originally, but I know there's a few of them. Mm-hmm. And Zol is one whose name we've heard a few times. What makes me really happy is we know Salvathun is coming. None of this has anything to do with her.
Yeah. It's a whole separate Hive story.
Because Salvathun, from what we're told, is taking command of the Taken. So it's like, one thing I'm really hoping is when we actually get, you know, the whole Salvathun story expanded on, I hope that she's not primarily Hive with Taken spattered throughout. I want her to be like, everything we fight is Taken. I don't want any like new Taken units. Taken, and a couple twice baked Taken. Like, making Taken pancakes. Taken, and we're put them in a pancake.
Taken pancakes.
I think the Taken are a fun enemy.
Sorry.
Taken are the only enemy.
I wouldn't go that far.
No, the Taken are the only enemy.
I wouldn't go that far. I actually like the Hive a little bit more than the Taken.
Yeah. Get out.
The Taken are a great addition to the Hive.
Get out.
You get out.
That's a good movie.
Get out, Smitty. Ouch.
So, Russ, since this was your first time seeing or hearing a lot of this stuff, like, how are you feeling right now?
I have to switch from Discord. I'll be right back.
Okay, bud.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. You know, what they've done with Destiny so far.
Mm-hmm.
Are there some steps back? Are there some improvements that needed to be made? Sure. Forward to a new expansion. I thought Curse of Osiris was fun. I am looking forward to it. Forward to Curse of Osiris, and I expect to have as much fun. I expect to have a little bit more fun than I had with Curse of Osiris, just because I'm really looking forward to the EOP.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the things that I enjoyed most. Like, that was just one of the things that I remember the most is, you know, when we were roommates, and I'd be on the couch and I'd be like, hey, zombies? And then that's what we would do. Oh, and because neither of us had girlfriends, obviously, or wives.
Or husbands.
Or husbands, yes, sorry.
God, you're such a whole bag.
Sorry.
I was primarily kidding.
I am excited to get back to that and to do it with you guys. You know, I'm excited to experience and do that kind of, I wouldn't call it mindless, because apparently it's going to be super hard. Okay, let's just, you know, I've got some time tonight. why don't we sit through and try and see how many waves we can make it through before we're all dead?
Hmm. Well, right. The big thing for me that I'm excited for, especially with the power level changes, is, you know, it's going to be a cool thing that we can all just sit down and talk just about life or whatever, like we used to do in Archons Forge. I mean, we still have to work harder at it. But the biggest thing for me is that with how power is going to go, with how difficult this thing is going to be, it's not just repeating it over and over. You're going to see improvement as you repeat it. And then as you slowly gear up, you're going to notice, yeah, I'm doing slightly better at this. I'm doing better and better and better until you get to a comfortable spot. So, and that's going to keep me pushing hardcore too, is trying to get the loot, trying to finish everything, just saying I've completed, you know, each of the bosses for one, trying to get all the loot and then seeing that progression, seeing yourself do more damage, seeing yourself get better at it is super addicting for me.
Able to collect all those rewards.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. It's huge. And some, I mean, that I'm excited to see more of it, but it's just some of the armor and weaponry with all the, you know, the triangles and stuff all over, it just looks so good. I can't wait to be wearing that.
It stuff. Does. It looks a lot better than the, oh gosh, what was that? Eva. The,
oh, the Siva?
Siva, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, 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 the
Siva expansion. Mm-hmm. I was not a big fan of that armor. It was very 8-bit to me. Which, don't get me wrong, I love it, good games. But it just seemed kind of out of place in a way. But I am super... this armor looks legit.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. Yeah, I am insanely hyped right now. Well, because it's like, you know, Curse of Osiris, the campaign was a lot of fun. And then really past that, there was a couple strikes, the raid lair, and then the only other thing with it really was the verses, you know, the weapons that you, that you slowly, you could either go crazy to grind for, which sucked, or like what I've been doing and just very slowly, nonchalantly doing it. It's not a big, you know, mechanic to really dive into. Whereas we're going to have the story and new strikes and Crucible map, you know, and the raid lair and all the normal stuff, but we have an actual end game mode on top of everything else. So that's already, I mean, that's 5 more weeks of content right there, you know.
Again, assuming that you get everything out of the reward at the chest at the end of wave 7. So, like, depending, I'm really curious to find out how much is actually available in the wave 7 chest, because if you have to do it multiple times in 1 week to get everything, then Jesus, I mean, it's, I'm probably not going to have to go waves, you know, 10 times in 1 week.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's, and the thing, like, even with the most, like, crazy players that, you know, that'll play, like, 10 hours a day, like, even those guys, it's still going to take them, you know, a month and a half to experience the whole thing. Like, even those players are being forced to play for 5 weeks, you know.
Well, and as far as they're making it, there's no guarantee that even if you grind it, you know, a couple hours a day,
that you'll get
it. You may not get through it.
Yeah. Well, that's a big thing. It's not just getting all the loot. It's just making it through it. It might even take the first month the game's out before you're even able to clear it the first time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm talking average people. I mean, of course there are the people that are probably going to clear it, you know, the first time. Like,
and that was my previous comment.
I'm going to punch them in the face.
Was even the god players that play, you know, all day, every day,
difficult,
it's still going to take them a month and a half to do it all. I like that. Well, anything else? Really? Anything else we want to touch on before we wrap up? Just our little short bonus episode here. And then
titties.
Nick, I think your connection is being funky because you're getting slightly robotic.
Yeah. I had to switch to my earbuds.
Oh yeah, that's.
I like how you just ignored what I was saying, Brett.
Oh, I don't care. No, what were you saying? Sorry, no, Nick was honestly talking, and all I could hear was... I
didn't even hear him. I was just saying you were epoxy cocksucker.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear that part. That's just, you know, day-to-day stuff, so I'm used to it.
If you're used to it, then I guess that makes sense.
I'm not going to do any regular sign-out stuff for bonus episode. You don't want that stuff, right?
Join us next week for Utter Incompetency and Mutual Chaos.
Well, technically, join us tomorrow.
It's mutual.
Whatever. Look, I don't know what you expect from me, Brett, but professionalism is not on the top of the list.
That is true. Nick did the sign out last week, and he did amazing. Bife, will you take us out, please?
Greetings, Guardians. My name is Bife.
Yes, thank you, Guardians, for joining me. I normally signs out, but this is the voice that I think Nick was using.
We're just some Guardians. Peace.